Willie Terry, a Roman labor correspondent for the Hustle Mohawk Magazine Network. Today, I have as my guest David Daniels, part of the December the 12th movement in New York City. And they are planning on May 27th, which is a Saturday, African Liberation Day. How you doing, Brother Daniels?
Hey, Brother Willie Terry, thank you so much for having me on. I'm a member of the December 12th movement, a New York City-based human rights organization that really takes our inspiration and our teachings from the late El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, otherwise known as Malcolm X. You know, we think that his vision, his understanding, is that the really top level objective for oppressed Africans, you know, African Americans, you know, in terms of, because that's a struggle too, to get to that point of self-recognition. But the struggle for Black folk in the United States is one of self-determination, one of independence, and it's a struggle for human rights.
Right.
So thank you so much for having us come on to share about African Liberation Day, set for Saturday. Our program is Saturday, May 27th this year.
Right. And, you know, before I just dive, you know, into it, first of all, just tell the people a little bit about what December 12th movement is.
Yeah, thank you. Very important. Thank you. The December 12th movement, grassroots community organization that originally when folks came together, some of the founding folks of that was back in about 1987. At that point, it was called the December 12th Coalition. Some of the great leaders, some of them who have now transitioned and now our ancestors, were folks like Sonny Abubakar Carson, Brother Coltrane, Shimaranger, Father Lawrence Lucas, still with us, and the chair of the December 12th movement, who is still providing exquisite but most dynamic leadership, Sister Viola Plummer, chairs the organization. It was those folks who came together back at that time because there were some particular things going on. As a matter of fact, up, you know, the northern, you know, the Albany region, you know, Ossining, where that was something sort of the catalyst. But I was brought to different folks' attention then that inside some of these state prisons, Sing Sing, Ossining, where the prison guards were actually really carrying out terroristic behaviors and torture, in essence, torture behaviors on Black prisoners in that. You know, word, I'm summarizing, got back to folks down in the city of New York, and people said, well, we've got to move. We have to deal with something. So there were a number of things like that. The issue of police violence, police brutality was on the table. There were you may recall that the big case around Tawana Brawley and all the issues and questions about that Black woman who was assaulted. So that was sort of the spark. But of course, those things were a part of a long history of Black people dealing with systemic racism in the United States, going back from, if we really go back to the root, from the days of the transatlantic slave trade and all the different phases of terror and exploitation for those folks, you know, our slave captures to make money. I'm talking about the slave trade, you know, slavery in the United States. And as our people fought and freed themselves, you know, to force them us to end the formal slavery, but you know, all those years of Jim Crow laws, you know, the open lynchings. So that is what those leaders got the inspiration from, and that is what they've continued to do to this day. You know, we're independent, not a government-funded organization, but one that understands our struggle is not one of civil rights. We think that is important that in our community we have people who fight on the level of civil rights. You know, that's important. We need to fight on every level. But in terms of freedom and self-determination, as Brother Malcolm taught us, that you cannot turn to your enemy, your very same oppressor. the persons who own the courts, who control the courts, who write the laws, who manipulate, you know, the prison system, the prosecutor's office, the school systems. We cannot turn to those people for remedy. We cannot turn to those people and expect them to be objective and independent in their analysis to help, at this point, over 40 million Africans realize self-determination and freedom. So that's why Brother Malcolm was very visionary. He understood we had to take our case. We had to take the evidence of the daily torture and abuse of our people to the United Nations. We had to bring our case to the international arena because it's one of human rights. And so that vision, those principles is what guides the December 12th movement, and it brings us to this very day. So when we come to talk at African Liberation Day, that is how we are able to make the connection between those of us Africans who are born, raised in the United States. Our circumstances are different here, but we are in the same, we share the same history of our motherland, of our people today in 2023, who are facing the same enemies who perpetrated the criminal enterprise of the slave trade. It's the very same people who colonized African countries. So it's the same enemy. If you look at certainly all the horror stories, you know, in terms of the human life, the loss of life, the torture from the slave trade, you know, that barbaric using force to bring Africans to originally Virginia and began that criminal enterprise, you know, that it continues today in different forms. But we understand that African Liberation Day, and if my study is accurate, originally it was about 1963, to share a little history, when there were several African countries who came together and forming the OAU, the Organization of African Unity. And that, I believe, was the first coming together, and there was something that was declared an African Liberation Day. Mm-hmm. Because we know that period in the 1960s going forward was a critical point at which African countries were fighting for their liberation. Right. And it was, in fact, us Africans here inside the United States. And if I failed to mention it, Ilambe Braff, when I was talking about some of the founders of the December 12th movement, Ilambe Braff was one of those leaders.
You said around 1963, Kwame Nkrumah, my understanding too, was a key figure in establishing the African Liberation Day.
Most certainly, Kwame Nkrumah, very key in terms of having that vision back then, that this idea of the commonality of our struggles, understanding Kwame Nkrumah as well as people like Patrice Lumumba.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Former Prime Minister of the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, mm-hmm. who understood that there were direct connections between the different European countries who colonized different parts of Africa, who understood the 1888 Berlin Conference, where these European folks came together at the conference and talked about how they were going to carve up Africa, which piece of the cake that they were going to individually own and conquer and rape and exploit. So it was these kinds of leaders, indeed, Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, and many others, you know, Thomas Sankara, who understood that we had to have a level of unity, sharing strategy. And so that's what inspires the December 12th movement, me and the sisters and brothers that we collaborate across the country here, even today, which is why we must keep African Liberation Day growing. We must bring more people on board, because although our African countries back home and us Africans within the borders of the United States, we've made tremendous progress through our struggle.
Right.
Through our struggle, we have a long way to go in terms of complete economic freedom of our African countries, and certainly us oppressed Africans in the United States, who literally, as you know, Brother Willie Terry, who own nothing.
Right.
here we are in 2023. Tell me one thing that African Americans, or Black folk, as I prefer to say, tell me one thing that we own and we produce and we manufacture and we distribute. Mm-hmm. Nothing.